Hello out there, everybody. It's first Friday in Carbondale, and it's time for Express Yourself. It is 4 o'clock here in Carbondale. This is KDAK, KDNK Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. We've got a great show coming up. If you're not familiar with Express Yourself, it's all the creative things happening up and down the valley. Later on, you'll have to stay tuned for an interview with the one and only Mr. Roaring Fork, Darren Binion, or the currently reigning Mr. Roaring Fork. We've got a contest coming up tomorrow. We also have a cool interview that Stacey Dickerson did with artist Heather Cherry at the Art Base. And first up, we've got Trey Story in the house talking about his upcoming, well, today, upcoming show that opens today at 6 o'clock. So stay tuned for more of that. Hello, Trey Story. I'm so excited to get to talk to you. It's been a while since I met you last fall.
Yep.
But I want to talk to you about your show. It's called Unknown Territory. For anyone who doesn't know Trey, he's been here since September. If you can't believe that, it's probably because of COVID. No one's seen anybody. Mm-hmm. But this exhibition opens tonight at the Clay Center from 6 to 8. And Trey, tell me about your time here in the past 9 months and what you've been working on as a clay artist living in the Roaring Fork Valley.
I guess since I got here in September, I've been just experimenting and playing around with color and material with casting slip and mold making and trying to make three-dimensional paintings, basically. So
that's right. I saw a quote that you had. It's like the show statement. Who's the Peter Volkus?
Yep.
He says, clay is just thick paint, and paint is nothing but thin clay.
Yep.
I love that, because as an artist, I'm painting all the time, but I don't think about that kind of element. Mm-hmm. How does that affect your work?
I guess this is the first year I've been outside of school making artwork, so there hasn't been anybody really guiding me or pushing me in any direction. So you know, that comes with a lot of anxiety about my artwork. And
sure.
You know, Peter Volkus also said that if I knew what it was going to look like, why would I make it?
Right? Yep.
And I found myself with just like super high anxiety in the studio because I was, you know, I had this image in my head. It's almost like perfectionism. Mm-hmm. So then I started thinking about that quote, and mm-hmm. you know,
and you have some statements on the website at the Clay Center. Your artwork, like you say, you seek to change the way people understand an issue or situation. What kind of expectations are you trying to overcome? Like, kind of, I know as an artist, like I often, you know, have my own ideas and people have their own ideas for, yeah, you know, expectations for what the art's about, mm-hmm. but also what life is about.
Right.
And what kind of things have you been experimenting with to have that conversation with people through your art?
The main thing is abstraction. I feel like if I try to express my ideas too explicitly, then people tend to back away and they don't want to talk about them. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I abstract things, I can bring people in. It's kind of like a trap, you know?
Perfect. So. can you tell us about your art background for anyone that hasn't met you yet? Because you're kind of fresh out of school, basically.
I am. Sort of, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I started working with clay in high school in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so there was this whole pottery lineage that I was a part of, and I really loved making functional pots. And then I got to college, and I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I chose to study art. And I feel like this is what happens to a lot of art students, in that you don't really know what you're getting into.
It's true.
And I kind of got blindsided and realized that, you know, making pots was kind of boring. And so I didn't have the greatest, like, ceramics professor in college. So after I graduated from St. Cloud State in 2018, I went and did a post-bac, which is you take one credit at a school, you get studio access and guidance from the professors. So I did that, went to Montana State, Bozeman, studied there for a year. And then 2019, moved out to Fort Collins and did a post-bac at CSU, Colorado State. And that went really, really well up until COVID. And we had to leave like 3 or 4 months early, and I had a bunch of work that I wasn't able to finish.
Oh, gosh.
I had a bunch of work that I wasn't able to photograph. But luckily, I applied to the Carbondale Clay Center and got in. And
yeah. How did you find out about the program here?
About 5 or 6 years ago, I went out to Anderson Ranch in Aspen, Snowmass Village, I should say, and took a workshop, and
we
came down to Carbondale and checked out the Clay Center, and that was my first experience here.
I feel like there's a really strong clay community in the Valley.
Yeah.
From Anderson Ranch, and, you know, I'm so glad the Clay Center has this program to bring in artists from all over the country.
Yeah.
With different backgrounds and experiences. And this is like a year-long program, but you're able to re-up for another year.
Yep, I signed on for another year.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And for this show, could you talk about some specific works? I printed up some pictures. The show, again, is called Unknown Territory. And the photo I have here, that I saw in person yesterday, in the Clay Center gallery, is a series of clay paper bags.
Yep.
It's kind of a row of them, and they are different colors, value, starting on the left from like a light tone to a dark tone on the right.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that work specifically? And then how that relates to the rest of what you're getting across through this show?
For sure. That kind of came from, well, first of all, in undergrad, I had a professor tell me that if I ever come across an object or a thing that affects me in some way, even if I don't know what that effect is, to either write it down or keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was at CSU last year, I found these paint swatches in the free bin. And a few of them were, you know, skin tone colors from dark to light. And you know, I didn't really know why that interested me, but I kept it. And then I started reading about, you know, the Jim Crow South and the things they did to people. And one of the things was, say you wanted to get into a party, one of the things they did was hold up a paper bag against your skin, and if you're darker than the paper bag, you couldn't get into the party.
Whoa.
So.
Wow.
I found a small paper bag, made a mold of it, started slip casting it. So they're porcelain and stained with, you know, skin tones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came from.
How do you make a mold out of a paper bag?
It was really difficult. I think I tried it 4 different times.
Because
the problem is when you pour plaster on top of the paper, it gets soggy and it wants to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I poured plaster into the inside of the bag, let that set, and then like folded it closed, and then it was stiff enough to pour plaster on top of. And I didn't want to spray it with shellac or anything, because it would lose that paper like quality.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some other works in the show? I only have that one. I have some others of your previous work, but I want to hear more about what you've got in here.
So there are a few other works in the show. I suppose I should mention the abstract wall piece painting things, and I kept to a a color palette throughout the entire gallery. And so that's the way I've connected the work. But, you know, it's exhausting talking about identity politics. And so one of the reasons why I made those paintings is because I didn't want to talk about that stuff. I just wanted to explore, you know, the formal and, you know, the formal qualities of those pieces. So, and then, another piece is, I call them air fresheners. And I essentially took one of the little tree, air fresheners that people hang in the rearview mirror.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Made a mold of that and then cast them in black porcelain. So the specific scent I was thinking of was black ice. And I've noticed, like, in the black community and, like, other communities as well, that that's a really common air freshener that you find in people's cars. But that idea sort of came from, you know, growing up and my mom telling me, don't hang anything from your rearview mirror, you'll get pulled over.
Oh. Right?
So there's like this ambiguous law that doesn't designate whether or not it's actually illegal. So a lot of people think that the police can sort of profile you by what's hanging in your rearview mirror. So that's where that came from. And
wow.
There's a few other things in the show, but
I understand what you mean about not wanting to talk about the work, but let it kind of speak for itself.
Yeah.
And let people find what they see in the work. I feel like it's hard to always get that point across that you have, but you're not always going to be there to speak for it.
Yeah.
That was something a teacher told me long ago in school, but
yeah.
What kind of titles do you have for these works?
They're all untitled.
They're all untitled.
Yep.
How did you choose to do that? Just because it's hard to come up with like a name for each piece?
I just didn't want people to read into the work, you know. The whole point of the work that I was making is so people don't know what it's about. They have to figure it out for themselves. So I guess I could have gave the pieces random arbitrary names or titles, but I just wasn't interested in that. So
wow, I can't wait for people to see this show. And how long is it up for?
Until June 26th.
Yep. And tonight you're open from 6 to 8, I believe.
Yep.
Anything else you want to tell the listening audience about what to expect when they come see your show tonight?
Not really.
You're a man of mystery, Trey.
Go see it.
Well, thank you so much for taking time. I'm really excited to go see the show again. For sure. I was fortunate to see it last night. And I look forward to seeing what else you come up with during the next year and 3 months or so. Just to have an artist like you in the community who's, you know, from a different place with different experiences, I feel like that's a really important aspect of the whole residency program.
For sure.
So I'm hopeful you're enjoying it. I assume you are since you renewed for another year. But
yes, sir.
Thank you so much, Trey.
You're welcome. Thank you.
afternoon. This is Stacy Dickerson with Express Yourself and on KDNK. Today we are going to have a conversation with Heather Cherry. Heather is an artist from Boulder, Colorado, who is currently exhibiting a show called A Light Within at the Art Base in Basalt. It's also at the actually the brand new Art Base space in Basalt, Colorado. This show is being held from May 28th through June 26th of 2021. And so with no further ado, let's hear about the show A Light Within by Heather Cherry. Hi, Heather. How are you today?
Hi, Stacey. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome.
I'm doing well.
Good, good. I'm so fascinated by this title and by the work that you've done. Tell us a little bit about A Light Within and what it's all about.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to. So there are quite a few influences when I was thinking about the title and kind of putting together all of the different elements of the show. The first thing that really comes to mind is I grew up in Iowa, and you know, my sense of space, you know, if you've traveled out to Iowa or you know, the Midwest, your sense of space is really very expansive. You have these, you know, I remember these fields that walking through fields that seem to go on forever, and this endless horizon. So the sense of space and then the subtlety of the landscape really made an impression on me. And I feel like, you know, early on I was really invited to look closely at the landscape. So those pieces of landscape definitely, you know, influenced my work for this show and have been for quite some time. There's also just the sense of light itself. You know, I remember once upon a time standing at my kitchen window and watching the dawn, and the light would come in through the window and it would catch on these tiny little particles of dust. And I remember trying to gather it and just, you know, hold that light. And so in a sense, I maybe still am. I don't know.
I love that.
So those are some of the pieces of the show. There's also a sense of stillness. That's been a very important piece in this body of work and, you know, kind of throughout time for me.
Those are the
three main.
Oh, that's good.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
When you say you grew up in Iowa, of course, there's urban centers and there's a lot of rurality in Iowa. So were you out on a farm?
Or? No, so the moments that I'm talking about were actually out on a farm. The town that I grew up in wasn't, you know, super rural. But I have, you know, some very vivid memories of, you know, just the expanse of land and, you know, walking, you know, on across fields. So,
yeah. So you, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So you, there were three elements you were talking about. So you had the horizon or the expansiveness, the light,
yeah,
and stillness.
Yes.
Great.
And stillness. I would say that those are kind of the three pieces. And, you know, interestingly enough, there are, I would say, three different types of work as well in the show. I have sculptural pieces. I would call them sculptural fiber pieces. I have woven fiber pieces. And then I have graphite drawings. So they each kind of have a different...
And are the
influence related to those three pieces?
And are the woven pieces, are they wall pieces, or are they?
They are. They're framed pieces. So they're wall pieces, but they're actually created from hand spun paper. So I've worked in paper for quite some time, and about a year and a half ago, I started working with paper and hand-spinning threads. And so I would create these piles of hand-spun thread, and then eventually those became the weavings.
So I'm curious, because we can't see these beautiful pieces. How do you hand spin paper into thread?
So I cut strands of the paper, so strips that are about a centimeter wide, and I'm just spinning it all by hand, you know, from the top of the strand all the way down to the end. And, you know, often I'll have to do it two or three times to, you know, get it tight enough so that it actually stays in thread form.
So is that when you say spinning?
You know, the process is so...
When you say spinning, are you just rolling it back and forth in your palm to spin it down?
I'm spinning it, you know, between two fingers. So, you know, and I find the process really grounding and really meditative.
Yeah. I bet it is. It seems like a very connecting experience to your material as well. Just real intimate.
Yes. That's always been really important to me. Really just exploring, you know, what a material is and what directions I can take it in while trying to keep the technique relatively simple. I'm trying to really, be as sort of elemental as possible.
I love that. And so are you using paper that you're sourcing from somewhere, or are you making the paper yourself?
I'm actually not making the paper. It is handmade paper. I typically used a paper called Gompi. There's also another weaving that is made out of a paper called Tingucho. And then there is also a piece in the exhibition that is not woven, but it's all hand-spun pieces, and that's made out of dictionary pages. So
wow.
You know, I tend to like a thin paper that tends to be easier to spin into thread, because some papers will kind of crumble. So, you know, I've been experimenting a little bit to see what works best, and, you know, that play between strength and fragility, I suppose, in everything, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, these strands of spun paper thread, are they the diameter of regular thread, or do they have a variety of diameters?
Well, so they're, you know, depending on how thin you cut the strands initially, or the strips of paper, that tends to give you, you know, a sense of the gauge of what the strand will be.
Cool. That's great. And so then you take, so you assemble these strands and create a moment in time in your imagination, or based on like the landscape or something like that.
Yeah, you know, the weavings, a lot of them have very simple titles, and most of my work has very simple titles. So one of them, for example, is called Dawn. So it's really just, you know, it's about just the sense of light and you know, kind of going back to that idea of trying to gather light. And, you know, it's, you know, light is ephemeral and elusive, and maybe it's not even meant to be gathered.
Yeah, I love that phrase, though, gathering, you know, light. That's really an amazing phrase.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So then, and you also have some sketches as well, as you said.
I do. I have some drawings, and I have graphite drawings that are created out of graphite powder, and then I use an eraser to pull the powder away from the page to create the drawing. So I'm kind of trying to pull the light forward.
Wow. It sounds like it's a really, really interesting capture of what you're, an experience of really somebody really working very contemplatively and trying to understand these elements that you're trying to bring us into your world, it sounds like, in this stillness.
Oh,
and this,
thank you.
Landscape and this light. I love it. I haven't had a chance to get up there and see it. I can't wait till I do.
I look forward to hearing what you think. It the opening was outstanding. It was just so wonderful, and so many just beautiful conversations of like deep resonance, and what a supportive valley.
We do have a supportive valley for the artists, that is for sure. And everybody's been so hungry for that kind of connection and over this past year. And so I'm sure it was really a great experience to be the first artist to present an exhibition in the new location at for the Art Base at 174 Midland Avenue. In historic Basalt.
Absolutely amazing. It was such an honor, and such a supportive group of people that turned out for the opening, and just everything that the Art Base is doing is just extraordinary. It's such a wonderful. Such a wonderful organization. I heard that this is the 25th year, which is fantastic. So that's a lot of magic.
That is a lot of magic. That is a lot of magic. We have a couple of art organizations that have really been around for the long haul and have been supporting artists for a long time. Carbondale Arts is another place here in Carbondale that also, we're actually having our 50th year this year of supporting the arts.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. It's so, so great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we're about running. We're getting close to running. I wonder, I heard Lissa, when she interviewed you, on the Art Base, and you can find information about Heather Cherry and this show on the Art Base's website, theartbase.com, .org. And there's a really great interview with Heather and Lissa Ballinger as well. And she had you read your artist statement. I don't know if you have that handy, but I bet it would be really great.
Sure.
Yeah, if you
sure.
Have that.
I actually, I have fragments of it. I have the very first part of it, and I have the last part of it. So I could piece it together, and it might sound
Let's do it.
Like it makes sense. Should
it'll
we try?
Be sort of a great. Okay. It'll be a great kind of extra for your show to really compel people to come and see the work at the Art Base.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, so go ahead and read it, and then we'll have a couple more seconds, and then we'll sign off. So, okay, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Okay, a light within, dawn on an open plain, the way sunlight spills across a forest floor, wayfinding and the sanctuary of our heart's inner landscape, stillness, seed pods, wonder, wingspan. What is it that wakes us each day and sends us out into the world? What sustains us? How do we gather light? And then I have a little bit of a break in between, and then the last part of it is, my hope is to create a visual path composed of a series in which each element and the space amidst is carefully considered, a story, a poem, an inner topography. Living the questions through process like the spinning of thread and weaving of words, inviting you along to share in these moments of quiet. Stillness, seed pods, wonder, wingspan, that which is rooted and rising in each of us, a light within.
Wow, that if that doesn't get anybody to come and look at your show, I don't know what will. It's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Beautiful, beautiful poetry. So thank you so much, Heather, for coming and being on air with us. And we will, I'll be excited to see, to hear it in full length. And thank you so much, Heather, for coming on and talking with us today on KD&K Express Yourself.
Thank you so much.
You take good care, and everybody get out there and see the show at the Art Base called A Light Within by Heather Cherry. Okay, let's see.
Too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love, love's going to leave me.
This is KD&K, and you're listening to Express Yourself. I'm joined with Anderson Cole here in the studio. I'm Kathleen Shannon, and we also have a very special guest here today.
Are you nervous with this special guest?
I'm pretty nervous. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. I feel a little unworthy in this room, but we still have to introduce our guest here. And ladies and gentlemen, it is Mr. Roaring Fork 2020. Welcome to Darren Binion.
All right, we're freaking out. The fanfare is like 20 more seconds, but I'll fade it. Welcome in.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. It's
I didn't realize there were so many people in here.
Well, everyone crowd. Wanted to see you, so yeah. We had to kind of pick and choose.
Yeah.
Megan won. All right, so you were crowned last year, February of 2020, which feels a lot longer ago than that, but could you...
A lifetime.
Yeah. How has your year plus of reign of, you know, the Roaring Fork Valley been?
It's been interesting. I mean, dealing with COVID, obviously, there were not as many volunteer opportunities to go out and volunteer for all these events that really is at the heart of what Mr. Roaring Fork is giving back to the community and volunteering and being part of the community rather than just wearing a crown around with, you know, a title, so
which
to
I'm
speak.
Sure you also did. Wore the crown around.
A little bit, yeah. For my wife.
Yeah. Gotta use it before you lose it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a follow-up, and this may bring up some controversy, but I wanted to steer right into it. Do you think it's fair that you had a prolonged reign as Mr. Roaring Fork? And mind you, you may rile up the media surrounding this event, and there may be tweets after this, so I have to preface it with that.
Probably. I mean, you know, I guess part of that, there was a prolonged effort. I mean, it seemed like everything was long last year, and mm-hmm. having
True.
To deal with what we had to deal with globally. Yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm really excited about the summer and all the opportunities that allow me to give back, and not only with KD&K, Carbondale Arts, the Clay Center. We have Mountain Fair coming up at the end of July.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm heavily active and basically volunteering from Wednesday through the next Monday. Every day I'll be there. So that's like I said, that's the basis of what I feel Mr. Roaring Fork represents, is giving back to your community.
Right. And these answers are really showing that you're deserving of that extra rain, extra
few months.
Yeah. All right. So moving on here, I have a picture that I'll describe. You are on stage at the Mr. Roaring Fork 2020 event, and you are...
He laughs knowingly.
I would say showing off your the guns, your right gun, and you seem to only be wearing what appears to be just an apron. Was this your talent, and what was the talent?
You know, I definitely was lacking in the talent zone, so to speak. I think there were a few other people out there that were more entertaining that night, and but Skin to Win seems to go a long way.
Ooh, I've never heard that before. That's excellent advice. I'm going to write that down. Do you do bike mechanic work, right? That was the representation there.
Yep.
And did you actually do any mechanic work on stage?
I didn't. I was just posing.
But that's a real life thing that we're talking
about. I am a bike mechanic. Yeah, I started working on bikes probably when I was 6-7 years old, and took apart my BMX bike, and been working with bikes ever since. I work with Aloha Mountain Cyclery here in town, and mm-hmm.
And is just the apron the usual uniform for that?
You know, some days in Aloha it's really hot, so I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Mountain Flyer magazine ads that Nick and Darren have put in there. But they uh-huh. were just wearing their apron.
Oh,
wow.
So
like a thing.
It's kind of okay. One of those things, yeah.
All right.
Great.
Yeah.
As long as we're on the subject of talents, I was going to ask you, Kathleen, if you were to compete in a talent show, what would your talent be?
You know, I've given some thought to this, and I think specifically since our Mr. Roaring Fork tomorrow is on 4th and Main Park, mm-hmm. I think I'd probably try to get there via base jumping. Off of Mushroom Rock.
Wow,
and
nice.
I've never done it. I'm sure it's really easy. I think you just jump off and float over.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's
it,
how it would work.
It probably is easy.
Yeah.
Right. It's one of those things you try it, but you're really good at it the first time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, risk-free
low
trial.
Risk, low
exactly.
Risk. Okay.
How about you, Anderson?
You know, I was thinking about if I had unlimited resources, I think I would get a big pool with some glass around it so you could see in the pool. And then I would mm-hmm. jump in and do some underwater basket weaving.
Wow.
Ooh, nice.
Uh-huh. Does that involve like a snorkel system so you can like breathe?
You know, part of the talent is holding your breath. For
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Yes.
I'm always very impressed by that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That is an extreme sport.
Unfortunately, we don't have the resources, and also I'm not competing, so no one will be seeing
not
that.
Not this year.
Next year. Next year.
Although we don't know what all the talents are for the contestants that we do have this year, so you know, you might actually see it if they have the resources.
Yeah, they're going
to
steal your idea.
Shows up.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, and bikes too, as we were talking about bikes before, that's a big theme for this year. Anderson, you want to talk about our bike themed events?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're starting out right from the get-go with a combination bike and human fashion show, so they can dress up themselves and their bike. And then we also have a slow bike race. So we were hoping, Darren, you would actually let us know, what are the rules of a slow bike race?
Well, obviously you need to go really slow.
Right. Right.
So it's basically, you would start at a starting line and you'd have the finish line, say 30 feet in front of you. And the idea is you're going to be the last one to cross the finish line. And if you put your foot down, then you're out.
Mm.
And that's kind of the mm-hmm. basic idea. You could track stand at the starting line the entire time and wait for everybody to finish and then just ride across if you've got those skills.
Mm-hmm.
So
that sounds like a lot of quad work.
Could be.
Like kind of
just
a hold
good
extended
balance.
Squat
yeah.
type thing.
Yep.
Huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Would you feel confident in this event? If you, if
I would
it was
feel
last
very
year?
Confident, okay. Yeah. I play bike polo in Hendrick Park over here,
okay.
And we play every Sunday. And I think that the bike polo skills that you develop would allow you to be able to stop and just sit there.
Because that's one-handed. Your bike polo is one-handed.
Typically, yeah, you've got one hand on the handlebar and one hand on the mallet.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's interesting because we are another addition to the slow bike race is you have to have one beverage in your hand.
Perfect.
As you're going. So, it
so
looks
it's
like
similar translation.
Yeah, proper. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And we'll see what kind of talent we do have in that event as well, because we may have to blindfold them if they are too good at the slow bike race. So, in combination, blindfold, beverage in hand.
You don't need
we'll
to see where you're
happens.
Going. You're not going very
That's
fast.
Like,
so.
No. yeah. So, and do you feel like you'd, I guess, perform well also holding a beverage then?
You know, I do like, I think bikes and beer go really well together. I typically get really thirsty on my bike rides.
I guess you need to be careful to make sure people aren't, one of the rules being the drink has to be in your hand and not, I know a lot of people have cup holders on
right.
their bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's got to be clear too.
Right,
I just got to put that in the world and make sure everyone knows that.
Must be in your hand.
Yes.
You're right.
So is one of the, you also would have to finish that beer before the finish
Ooh.
Line?
Oh my.
Good question.
Is that the...
If there's
you know,
anything
I mean,
left,
yeah.
I
think that should be one of
situation.
The requirements,
right.
too.
We'll, yeah. we'll see what anybody who listens to this interview says afterward, because then we'll take their input and see what the people would like.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mentioned before that we are also having the bike fashion show. And the other fashion event that we're going to be having in the competition is Mountain Fair Fashion. So my question to you, Darren, is do you have any advice for the contestants to harness their inner runway model?
You know, I would say the biggest idea is just to go out there and have fun. Mm. And if your clothing reflects fun, then you are winning, hands
Ooh.
Down.
Wow.
And with the both of our runway selections, I think that'll be good to do. And especially with the bikes, dressing up your bike. I mean,
yeah.
If you've ever been to one of the full moon bike rides in town, you
yeah.
see a lot of dressed up bikes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then what was your other advice with the skin? I already forgot it.
Skin to win.
Skin there to win. Go. Okay. Well, that could be another... piece of advice.
There you go.
For the contestants.
For anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
James,
for the many
James.
Contestants. Yeah. and I'm going to change the subject here a little bit, but did you go to the rodeo last night?
I did not. I mm-hmm. went for a mountain bike ride up Prince Creek instead.
Okay, fair enough. Well, in honor of one of the challenges we're doing tomorrow, the contestants will be doing tomorrow, I'm just going to ask you to maybe take this rope that I have. it's got a nice little lasso at the end.
Sturdy rope.
I'm pretty
wow.
sure it's yeah, regulation I mean, size.
Definitely right. looks like a lasso rope.
And I'm hoping maybe you could lasso that mic stand out there.
No problem.
There you go. All right. So I will describe the event in a little bit more detail as well as he's getting set here. We have a cowboy roping competition. So this is combination if you're good at roping, but it also requires a little bit of style. Oh, what did we get
he's
with
trying,
the first throw?
He's trying. All right, ready? Hang on. Oh, no, where'd it go?
Comes to him, got him, tied around the horns. Big Bob, look at this guy. Hey,
he's going down.
They don't get away from that guy ever. They're going to be
6-0-4.
So close. All
right,
totaling
got
the average,
miss.
They're 33-88. They have a command.
Is this a timed event?
According to that, you already won, but actually, you're doing better than I thought.
All right.
There was some camping rope I had in my trunk, so.
It's
pretty close to regulation.
I believe so. I mean, I would imagine.
3 mil.
Oh, I thought you had it.
Had it.
Oh, that was an optical illusion.
So close.
So close. Okay. Well, Darren, thank
well,
you for being a great
thanks,
sport.
Thank you. Thank you.
Batting average of 0.000 here. But
you know, you can't win them all.
Okay. You did. You only practiced a few times before. I mean,
yeah.
you didn't practice all
afternoon.
That was a surprise competition. He didn't know.
Next time I come on the radio,
yeah,
we'll be ready.
One of the preparations that you have to do is
yeah.
mouth warm-ups and then also rodeo.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, we have that cowboy roping competition. It's about being able to rope, but also bringing some style into that roping. So the judges will be putting up their scores as our contestants are roping. So excited for that event as well. Okay, so moving on to the end of last year, we have another picture that I want to show you. The crown is on your head, and you're smiling ear to ear. Can you describe the emotion that you felt in this moment as the as there was, I'm sure, applause?
And I have
picture.
To point out the gold sequin pants. That's pretty much gold
that,
sequin ads.
That was part of the former Mountain Fair attire right there.
Good recycling.
That was a very exciting moment. I really didn't know what to think. I think I was ready to have this whole thing behind me and just get out there and dance. And thankfully, Chris Hassig was definitely right there next to me, and we danced the rest of the night away after getting that crown.
So maybe like an emotional support person.
Exactly.
Is good, like your kind of right-hand person.
Yep.
Yeah, well, actually, this year our contestants will have Muggsy Faye, beloved Katie and Kay DJ, as the stage mom, I believe is the what's the term.
She was a huge help backstage last year.
Perfect. Just
yep.
a great
lots
asset
of,
for this
lots
year
of support.
Well.
So all you guys that are really nervous about this, I was incredibly nervous. If you need anything, ask her, because she will help you with anything you need. Or ask me. I'll help you
there
with
you
anything
go.
You need.
There's the volunteer Perfect. Coming out, finally, the first event. I mean, last year in Batch, you guys were getting ready in that. Last year, the event was inside Batch, and you were getting ready in that little hallway in the back, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not a big space. A
little shuffleboard zone.
And there were a lot of contestants.
Spent a lot of time back there anyway. Yeah. So.
You're familiar with it.
We
the
had
quarters.
Our own personal bathroom back there, so that was good.
Yeah, and this year our contestants, we're doing everything outside this year, so it'll
yes.
look a little different. We've actually got a big old stage, you guys might
I saw
have seen
that.
It.
Right.
It is
being
amazing.
Set up, yep, which I think is going to be used also this evening. But anyways, we're using it tomorrow.
Right.
All the contestants will be...
And I'd also like to
see.
Give a shout out to Eric Bredlinger. I saw he was out there mowing the grass. The director of
what
Parks and Rec
what
is, yeah, good dude.
Yeah, there you go, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, if you want to get a preview of what it might look like, you can drop by the 4th Street Park Plaza tonight.
Yeah, and before we kind of talk about the details of the show, shall we take a music break, a little dance break for everyone?
Yeah, here we go.
All right, great. What are you looking at?
Thank you.
Welcome back to Express Yourself. And we have two very special guests who've just called in. Thanks for calling in. Hopefully you're there. This is Darren's parents. Darn. No, it's not. Call back, guys. Oh, no. I'll get you on.
Oh, I love it.
Anyways,
okay,
actually, they're here. Ready? We're going to do this. Hello, you're on the air. Oh, man, guys. All right, let's talk about the event, and I'll work on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just so everybody knows as well, the event is tomorrow, Saturday, June 5th. It is going to be at 6 o'clock. The events are going to be starting. Doors are at 5:30, so you can start wandering into the park at 4th and Main in Carbondale. We also have some very special MCs. Amy Kimberly and Pedro Riviera are going to be your hosts for the evening. And DJ Luis Raul is going to be providing lots of songs, lots of fun songs for in between the different events and then probably during the events as well. But he always provides a great soundtrack to any event that I have ever seen. And then also, it is important to note that it is going to be a 21 and up event. So leave your children because it will not be an event for them. But it's going to be fun no matter what. And I believe this is going to be a perfect time to let you know who the contestants are going to be this year. This is exciting, folks. All right, we have our contestants, James Steinler, excuse me, sorry about that. And then we also have Matt Hugenboom. We also have Travis Yoakum, Bennett Packer, and Jamie Kinnaird. So that is five contestants this year. And don't let that detract you from still signing up. If you still want to be a part of Mr. Roaring Fork, go ahead and give us a call at KDNK 963-0139 or go online to kdnk.org and you can still sign up for the event.
Speaking of callers, Darren's parents, are you on the air?
Hello?
Yay! Hey. Hello, you're live on the air.
All right.
Great.
How's it going?
Hey, good. It's going good.
What are you guys
up
to?
You know, Darren, we always supported you when you were back here in Illinois, so we knew that you were going to be on there, so we've been listening.
Oh, I love it.
All the way from Illinois?
Yeah.
Wow. We love that, too.
Love the Facebook posts. You know, they spread that love everywhere.
Uh-huh. I know, my parents came to visit recently, and I sent them off with a Katie and Kay t-shirt, and I think my dad wore it for like a week straight.
Perfect. I love it.
So, Darren's parents, I would love to ask you, what were your first reactions to finding out that Darren was Mr. Roaring Fork 2020?
We were very proud of him.
As you should be.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, you've raised an excellent son here. We're so happy he's part of our community and glad we can claim him as our own, king for now.
Yes.
For one more day.
And
do you guys listen to Katie and Kay only when Darren's on or at other times also?
Mostly only when Darren's on. Or Rebecca. Or Ruby.
Yeah, good. Well, we appreciate you calling in. That's awesome. And I have to ask, does Darren get his onstage, talents from you guys? Are you guys also stage people?
No. I don't know where he got it.
Yeah, even his dad wasn't that wild.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's starting some new family trends, maybe.
That's right.
Great. Well, I'm curious. Do you listen to other community radio stations where you are in Illinois? Or what part of Illinois are you in?
We are in East Central Illinois.
East Central. Okay.
We are in the heart of Illinois' largest Amish settlement.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
When's the last time you were back in Illinois, Darren?
It's been a couple years, but I'm going at the end of the month.
There we go.
So
nice.
Go back and visit.
Yeah.
Is there anything about that community that you feel that you really took to this community? Do you feel like you got that?
What is that beeping?
Uh-oh.
I was wondering that, too. Oh, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, having some weird phone difficulties, but we can hear you.
Yeah, you're okay. Still there.
You could or couldn't?
We can. Yeah, we could.
Okay. Oh, there it is again.
There it is.
Oh, no.
We hear it, too, here.
Well, you know what? We're going to wrap up the program here in a minute anyways, because we're coming up on 5 o'clock. So thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. Love you.
Yeah, I love you too, Darren.
You too, Darren. He was a very good kid to raise. That's all we can tell you.
Well, we can still tell. That volunteer spirit, you should have heard him gushing about volunteering earlier. Yeah. I guess you probably did. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
He does get the volunteer from us.
That's what we thought. We could tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Could tell straight over the phone. All right. Well, we'll let you guys go. Thanks so much for calling in. And you'll have to hear more about Roaring Fork, Mr. Roaring Fork, tomorrow, next time.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming in, Darren,
Mr.
Roaring Fork.
Thank you.
Ready to pass on the crown tomorrow. Thanks for supporting Katie and Kay and being a judge for us.
Oh, man.
Tomorrow, too. It's going to be fun.
So much fun.
Thanks for being on, Anderson.
Thank you. Come see us tomorrow, 5:30. Doors are open, and the event starts at 6, so we can't wait to see you there.
All right.